This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
1 Timothy, if you will, this morning. 1 Timothy in chapter 1, we get there. I'd like us to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Some familiar scriptures and texts today. In my Bible, I have two or three different outlines for this passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy, what Paul does here in his first chapter is he gives us a brief synopsis of the principles of the law, and he begins to exhort young Timothy here that he charged some that they should teach and know their doctrine, the Bible says. And I want us to pick it up in verse 11, and we'll look at a couple of verses for context this morning. But I want you to see in verse 11, the Bible says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you this morning for that exceeding abundant grace that you've had for us, dear Lord. Father, we are a needy people. We are a group, Lord God, that is just in dire need of thy love and compassion and mercy today. I pray forgiveness, Lord, of everywhere that I have failed you. And I pray, dear God, that you remove me out of the way, that you would convey the thoughts of your heart today unto the people. Lord, I pray that you touch them, bless them, and watch over them. Again, we do lift up in prayer those today who are physically sick, are unable to be here. Father, we also want to lift up in prayer this morning those that are spiritually infirm. Lord God, we pray that you would give victory in their lives, Lord, that grace would be showered and sprinkled upon their soul. In the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I ask all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. If we look back just one verse from where we started, the latter part of verse 10, Paul tells Timothy, he says, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. He said, and if any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, and sadly enough today, much of what the contemporary American church holds to, and I say contemporary American church, I'm not talking about contemporary churches, I mean the modern day American church, the modern day Baptist, independent, fundamental Baptist church today, much of what many of them are holding to, if you begin to look at it and dissect it, it's contrary to sound doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that what Paul gives us here in verses 11 through 14, he gives us a basic outline. First, Paul speaks of a trust in verse 11. He speaks about a trust, and because of that trust that the Lord gave unto him, he was thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 12. So not only was he thankful because of the trust, but what it made him do, it made him to go back. It made him to generate thoughts of the past in his own life. When he began to think on what that which he used to be and what God has done for him today, he revealed unto the world his transformation in verse 14. Friend, it was Paul that exclaimed in Romans 12:2, saying, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. He said, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In all of these things, in all of Paul's life, what he saw was the faith and love of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he referenced it by saying this, that it was exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundant means to superabound, to overflow, to be rich. Profuse, it means plentiful. Aren't you thankful this morning that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was plentiful for us today? That it was plentiful enough for us to cover our sins and separate them as far as to Him, from the east as the west, to put them so far away from Him that God Himself can't even see them anymore. That's exceeding abundant. That's plentiful, my friend. I think we can all look back at our lives. I think we can all reflect back at times when we could have died, when we could have been maimed, we could have been lost, or we could have been injured. Things that happened. And where would we be right now? You guys heard me ask this question several times. Where would you and I be right now if one thing may would have happened or not happened in our life? Think about it. When we look back at our lives that the Lord has given us, our relationship with friends and family, our spouses, our children. We can look back at every aspect of our life, and many times we go back to those points and we say, my soul, if one thing wouldn't have come together, where would we be? That's exceeding abundant grace, friend. That's exceeding abundant grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had it not been for that plentiful grace that He had for us, where could we be? It never ceases to amaze me, the goodness and grace of God. You know why? It never runs out. I mean, let's face it, you and I, we're limited in our patience. Amen. We're limited in our long suffering. We are limited in what we can endure of this life and things and situations and circumstances. God's not limited with anything. I understand that He uses the chastening hand of the Lord. I understand that. But the goodness of God's love is not limited. It is, as Paul said, exceeding abundant. You ever wonder this? Did you ever wonder about grace? I do. I think about that. And I like to ask you, do you ever wonder why us? Why? Why me? Why America? Why Tennessee? Why Gillettsville? Why Springfield? Why Davidson County? Why Robertson, Sumner, and all the... Why? Why did God have His grace like He did for us in this life? I want to share this with you this morning. And this is very familiar. I've probably preached it before, but... It's on my heart this morning. So endure. Amen, I hope. And maybe it's a review. Who knows? But I want you to think about the sole purpose that Christ has today. A sole purpose for His exceeding abundant grace in your life, in my life, in a nation's life, in a community's, in a county's, in a church's life. The sole purpose that He gave grace into our life. Keep reading the same text here in verse 15. Verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world, watch, to save sinners. To save sinners." When the devil took, and we mentioned this a bit in Sunday school, but when the devil took Christ up into an exceeding high mountain in Matthew chapter 4, we find in verse 8 that he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And friend, all the devil wanted was for Jesus to bow and to worship Him. And He says, "I'll give you every one of these kingdoms, past, present, and yet future." And of course, the Lord said no. Now, there's two reasons, other than Jesus Christ being God, which is the obvious, that it didn't move Him that day. First, we know that all those kingdoms are going to be His anyway. Revelation 11 tells us that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's the thing about it. It's the proper time that Jesus Christ was going to receive those kingdoms. That's why He didn't want them then. And that's what the devil does. He causes you and I to seek things that we will eventually have, but He causes us to look for them in a time not yet appointed. The second reason is that the Lord had already seen those kingdoms. He's already seen the people therein, for He came to save the people in those kingdoms and the ones to come from the day that He was. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells me, clearly says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." There's a sole purpose of God's exceeding abundant grace. There's a sole purpose that He came down here, and He is long-suffering and patient toward us. There's a sole purpose, and friend, that sole purpose was to save sinners, of who Paul said, "Who I am chief." Matthew 18:11 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek." The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, looks down at His creation, has compassion upon them. He loves them as children. And His exceeding abundant grace was driven by the sole purpose to come and save sinners. Friend, there is a sole purpose, but can I say this to you today? Having a sole purpose is just not enough. You can understand that, I think. I'm not speaking in riddles. Having a soul, and I'm not downplaying my Lord either, because that's the next point. Having a sole purpose is not simply enough. You must have a sinless provider. You must have a sinless provider. Friend, I could die for you all day long. I could lose my life for you all day long. It would not get you closer to heaven than you are today. Verse 16 of the same chapter tells me, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." If it was not for a sinless provider, there would not have been a perfect pattern for the believer to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Jesus Christ, of course, we know is a sinless provider. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For it made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Paul's life reveals unto you and I those things afterwards, those things as a pattern to the Lord Jesus Christ, that his grace is exceeding and abundant. Paul's life reveals that. You say, why does it reveal that? The latter part of verse 15, that we mentioned just a second ago, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. You say, why in the world was he a chief of sinners? Look in verse 13. The Bible says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, unbelief. The Bible records in Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did. I showed up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities." This is Paul. He said, my soul. Couldn't the Lord found somebody better than him? Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's writing to a young man who has been a devout moralistic man from his youth. Young Timothy was never, there's never anything recorded of Timothy that he was a vile person. There's a great contrast between Titus and Timothy. See, Timothy was saved from sin. He was saved. His grandmama and his mama taught him the scriptures, taught him the right way to live, taught to live a righteous life before God, knew the law backwards and forwards, knew the scriptures, knew the Messiah. All these things young Timothy knew. And Timothy was probably an upstanding citizen. I mean, Timothy was able, who he was. He was able. Titus was an old Gentile. But the difference between Titus and Timothy was that Timothy was saved from sin. Titus was saved out of sin. Now, that doesn't justify running out in sin to be saved. But I will tell you this, the characters were different, wasn't they? Titus is the only one the Apostle Paul ever said, set things in order till I come. Titus was pastoring or serving in a church over there, setting a church up in Crete, a vile city, full of all kinds of promiscuity and perversion and all of this. I mean, just full of all, given in marriage, and I mean, all this wickedness over there. Paul said, set things in order till I get over there. I'll be over there soon. You go ahead and handle things for me. There's a difference between the two. So yeah, God could have found somebody probably. God probably could have found somebody that hadn't killed any Christians, but nice. Amen. I mean, Peter was pretty rough around the collarbone. I tell you, Peter was a rough guy, wasn't he? I mean, hey, you say, well, Peter, no, he was a fisherman. He whacked a guy's ear off. You think he was aiming for his ear, guys? he was aiming for mid-brow, son. Amen. Old boy moved. I mean, the Lord could have healed the head too, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy got out of the way. Peter's rough. Never heard of him killing any Christians. Never heard of him hauling them back in chains. Never heard of him giving his voice against their death. Never heard Peter making them to blaspheme God. Paul did. So why God choose him? Chose him to be a pattern because he was a sinless provider. Chose him to be a pattern so that we could see, so that we could not sit back and say, well, I'm too lost, I'm too sinful, I'm too wicked, I'm too bad off. Paul not only blasphemed God, he persecuted the church of God, he went after those that named the name of Christ, he consented unto their death, he participated in injuring them, he forced them to blaspheme, he tore apart families, he did all of these things. And he says, I'm the chief of sinners. God had mercy. Can I ask you a question this morning, ladies and gentlemen? Are you thankful this morning that the pattern was Paul and not Timothy? James was the pastor of Jerusalem. I'm sure James is a pretty good guy. You know, pretty good guy. John, the beloved. John took care of Jesus' mother when he died afterwards. You say, well, John was probably too meek to go in and, you know, preach to those Gentiles. John was he was laying across the breast of Jesus. He was that far away from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. John couldn't have gone into all those tough areas like Paul could. Really? Y'all do remember what John and his brother were called? The sons of thunder. Yeah. John the beloved was also one of the sons of thunder. I think he had it in him to go anywhere he wanted to and preach the gospel. Amen? The Lord chose Paul to be a light unto the Gentiles. He chose Paul to be a pattern for you and I, so that we could not ever say, I'm too far gone. I'm too lost. I'm too dark. I've done too much. Paul says, nay, I'm the chief of sinners and he saved me. His grace is exceeding abundant. There's a sole purpose to save sinners. There is a sinless provider that enables the pattern. But friend, Paul doesn't stop there. He gives a soldier's provision. You know, he gives Timothy, he gives him his marching orders. Look with me in verse 18, if you will. The Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before unto thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, can I say this to you this morning, that Paul was military-minded? Those of you that was in the Paul Sunday School for 5 years, you understand that? Paul was military-minded, and it was Timothy that Paul gave a charge to. He gave him a charge to charge the other ones that they teach no other doctrine, but he also gave him a charge that he wore a good warfare. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And do you know what most of our problem is today? There's no fight in us. There's no fight in us. Oh, there's bickering amongst one another. I mean, you guys, you know, we're good at that. But there's no, from pastors to preachers, from the pulpit to the pews, there's no fight to take a stand on what is right today. Paul says, fight a good warfare. You say, well, preacher, I'm just not a fighter. Well, if Paul told Timothy to fight a good warfare, that tells me that you can also fight a bad warfare. Amen? I think we should fight for things that are right. Amen? I think we should take a stand and have some backbone. You don't have to be arrogant about it. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just stand up. Happened to me on the way down to the plane. Some Justin Timberlake wannabe clown was sitting in front of me. Of course, I had to fly Southwest, and I was sitting between Vinny and Billy. Some of you get that if you're old enough, the Guinness Book of World Record guys. So I'm riding down the whole time like this, 4.5 hours trying to read. This guy's a super nice guy, born again, you know, believer, didn't give us any more room, but nevertheless, guy sitting up in front of me had one kid here, his wife or whatever's across the aisle. She had a kid over there, and they had a baby, and you know, things. Baby's going to cry on a plane. He's going to cry. That's what babies do. Amen. I mean, I'd rather put up with a baby crying on a plane than some of the other things you got to put up with. Amen. I'm not going to go into too far detail of this thing, but nevertheless, I mean, take a stand. What is right? He cussed out his wife there in front of everybody. Called her names. And I looked up and I said, all right, it's over with. And he called her another name. And the guy sitting next to me, he's getting a little nervous. Well, she leans over about 10 minutes later and he pushes her. And that was it, guys. I'm sorry. I'll go down with the ship, men, if you push on your wife. Okay? So I can promise you this. I'll do more to you than she will. There's no excuse for it. I stood up. And matter of fact, as soon as it happened, old boy here was getting up, getting out of the way. I put all my stuff up and I got up and got in the middle of them. Stood there in the aisle. Mr. Timberlake, whatever he wanted to be, he wasn't looking. You say, well, preacher, you're not supposed to be a brawler. Somebody better stand up. I'm not going to let a woman get hit. I promise you that. Amen, preacher. A brawler, by the way, is somebody who goes looking for it. I wasn't looking for it, but I sure enough was going to end it. The stewardess asked, is there a problem? I said, there's about to be a problem. He's going to go home to the morgue or the hospital if he lays a hand on her again. And that's just all there is to it. And I stood there in that aisle until which time it was done with. He said, preacher, why'd you do that? Because I guarantee you this, if it was my daughter, I'd want somebody to do it for me. Amen? He said, were you afraid? I was afraid of going to jail, but it wasn't going to stop me. And I promise you, I got a little girl. Where is she? She's in the back. Brother Grinder's got girls. Brother Coulter's got girls. Many of you got girls. Sister Tara's got girls. And I promise you, you'd want some stranger to stand up for her. No matter what's going on, no matter where you are, I don't care if you're on a tin can in the air or if you're in a mall or somewhere, you want them to stand up for you. And that's our problem in America today, is we don't have people that are willing to stand up for the right thing. Listen, it ain't my first rodeo. Amen. And God's given me liberty from a lot of that stuff in the past, and I thank God for it. Trust me. But I'm not going to let some woman get whooped. I'll get whooped. If I got to get whooped, fine. Okay? That's fine for me if it takes it off of her. But no man should ever lay his hand on a woman. You aren't a man if you do that. Now, that's my spiel, sorry. That was one of the Sunday school rabbits that came running out. Can I say this? Paul told Timothy to fight a good warfare. There's a soldier's provision that is given unto you and I, and it's given in grace, and it's honored by gratitude in our life, friend, and it's honored by gratitude toward God, who is the giver. It is the Lord who is a man of war. He is the one who gives us our provision. He's the one that gives us our marching orders. He's the one that tells us what we need to do. And He charges us to war a good warfare. The whole armor of God. We went over that series here for a multitude of weeks. The only offensive weapon that we have is this word right here. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Can you imagine having the testimony of being a man of God, a preacher of the Word, a born-again believer of Christ, and then you don't even fight for what you say you believe in? Fighting's not always like this. It's sometimes just standing and doing the right thing when other people aren't. Or it's standing with those who will do the right thing. You say, why, preacher? Because His grace was exceeding abundant. Should we not stand for the grace that God has given unto all of us because it is so plentiful to cover our sins? There is a soldier's provision for a reason. There's a sole purpose to save sinners. There's a sinless provider that enabled the pattern. There is a soldier's provision, friend, and there is a fight. There is a fight today. Why is there a fight? Because there's a foe. You ever tried to put the wrong side of the magnets together, like the north and north? You ever tried to do that and it does this? That's why. They won't go together. There's a fight. There's a battle. And anytime there is a foe out there, you are going to be into a fight. You say, who's that fight? There's a sinless provider. There is a sole purpose. There is a soldier's provision because, friend, there is a Satan's plot. There is a Satan's plot in this world today. Can I say this to you this morning, that God has a plan, but Satan has a plot? In verse 19 through 20, the Bible tells me very clearly here, it says, holding faith, grabbing a hold of it. Imagine this. Just look up here real quick. We'll go off a little task. Imagine this this morning. Imagine that you're on the side of a bridge and your child decides to get up on the rung there and they slip and you grab their hand. Are you going to hold on with every fiber of your being? I mean, I don't think there's anything in this world that will convince you to let go, right? Satan has a plot today of trying to get you to let go of the faith that God has given you. He is trying to get you to remove yourself from the faith that you have in the exceeding abundant grace that God has given us. That's what he's doing. Paul says here, he says, holding faith. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, Paul says, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, I'm not going to go into to verse 20 at all. I'm not going to touch on it very much. But guys, there's people in this world today, Paul says, I've turned them over to the devil. They'll learn not to blaspheme. You say, that's pretty harsh. That's not grace. No, it's not. I told you, we have limited grace. God's exceeding abundant grace has covered our sins. Sometimes, friend, we just got to hold on in this life. Can I ask you something this morning? How many people in here got struggles in their life? Raise your hand. And I say struggles, comparatively speaking, to, you know, the people right now meeting in Kenya under a tree, worshiping the Lord for 8 hours. I'm not telling you to put your hand down. You got struggles, put them up. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty for being American. Amen. I get phone calls all the time. Preacher, what should I do? Can I tell you something, guys? I don't always have the answer. I just don't. I can't always open up the book and give you the answer. So there's some questions that they're not in black and white. They're not in great detail. But I will tell you this. I know the end. I know where to war good warfare, as Paul told Timothy. I know there's a Satan's plot out there that's trying to destroy me, my home, your home, the church, the world, America. I know that's what he's doing. Why? Because that's his job and he's good at it. Sometimes, guys, we just got to hold on. Sometimes we just got to wade the storm. We want the storm to go away, and the Lord says, look, I just want you to hold on to me in the midst of the storms. Sometimes the Lord's not interested in taking the storm away. Sometimes He just wants us to trust Him and hold to that faith that He's given us in His exceeding abundant grace. He wants us just to hold on to it because the battle's won. There's a world today full of teachers, false teachers, they're one degree off the mark. There's houses of worship today are full of people today. They're being beaten down by a doctrine of men. There's congregations this morning that are lulled to sleep by no doctrines at all. And whether it be works, whether it be wisdom in our life, whether it be wants, whatever it may be, devil just wants us one degree off the mark of serving God. And sometimes, guys, you just got to hold on to the faith that the Lord's given you. Sometimes there's not a new answer. There's not a new verse. There's not a new program. Sometimes there's not a 7 steps or a 4 steps or a 12-step program. Sometimes you just got to hold on to faith in the midst of the storm. Friend, my Savior, He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not somebody to call on when the money fails. He's not a taskmaster that gives us a list of unachievable goals. That's not Him. He's a God of the exceeding abundant grace this morning. He's the God of grace that superabounds, that overflows, that is rich and profuse. He's the God of the grace that is plentiful for our life and every plot that Satan brings against us. It is by grace which we came to be saved through a sinless provider and His sole purpose. So today, I'm going to leave you with this thought, that there is a battle for those in this world today. There's a battle for those that will accept the charge and be counted and committed to the cause of Christ. There is a sole purpose to save sinners. There is a sinless provider that set the pattern. There is a soldier's provision to serve on the front line. And there is a Satan's plot of swerving from the faith given. So the question is this. Where will we be? Where will we stand this morning in the exceeding abundant grace? God has a plan. Satan's got a plot. Where will we be when the storms come down? What will we be holding on in the exceeding abundant grace that God has given us to serve Him and to love Him in this world? That's the question you have to ask. I can't answer it for you. Where will you be? Where will I be? Will you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed, every eyes closed.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.